For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Dear listeners, welcome to the Kodesh Family Church, Philadelphia, under the leadership of Bishop Dag Heward Mills. This denomination has grown with over several branches all over the world. We are excited to come your way with the anointed word of God, which has the power to heal, deliver, and save you. Stay tuned as we receive God's word through his servant, Reverend Gilbert Fleischer.
Bless him. Give him praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we bless you. We give you praise. We give you honor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now close your eyes and just begin to speak in tongues. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Oh, Oh, Karababadaba, Brando Robodia, Brando Robo. Come on, lift up your voice. Speak in tongues, pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost the best way you can. Malabros, estempre, calacha, pralianga, balunga deanda, egolongro, coporonde, sipalimia, malibabros, tapalianda, zibeleba, oro, shikata, casa, prakelemandoro. Ropolianda, Zebrekipala, Jembrekipala, Jembrekipala, Balababoku, Siprepelimiando, Balimamosa, Zangadele Keboroko, Koroboku Patala, Zibele Makopalia, Leshtampali, Marabahande, Elebroste, Pakalamanga, Kapalamanga, Kapalamanga, Kapalabanga, Gangolo, 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 Namale, Zibele barude kechala babranda kibrode kipara malise sebrene kinanga delembre leshtimpo 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 balaba ogorobo sipale mama malere mia mama anderebe mikoto paria mikopoto paraba rapapale baba zimbre kepalaba chandalaba kupraki bala chandalaba kupari baba chandalaba kipara baba chandalaba kupalia Egolobo, Shimenga, Kalangro, Kelaza, Zibredi, Lebrotipale, Shamalamabunda, Kababranda, Bambrodia, Bambrodia, Lestombre Kiparababo, Kenalamashi Palianda, Kaliando Kotopre, Elesipa, Monchorobo Kupala, Egalanga, Bagole Kiparo, Kipale, 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 Egotoprandia, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you so much for this evening. We ask the Lord you speak to us through your word. Thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, please be seated. Just have 30 minutes or so to share the word. Amen. Now tonight I want to just share something very small from the Bible. And we can call it, you have been saved for a purpose. Almost like we should become saviors of men, isn't it? Same thing. We have been saved for a purpose. Amen. Now, it's very easy to, you know, just be happy as a Christian, just by yourself. I'm not saying don't be happy. But what I mean by just be happy is just that to be content with yourself and just feel like, okay, I'm a Christian and I'm making it to heaven and that's it. And you don't care about anything else. And unfortunately, that is a general thinking and trend for most Christians in church. That is why most people come to church only on Sundays. Isn't it? And then a lot of people don't even care about a lot of activities that takes goes on. They won't come for all night. They won't come for evangelism. They will not be part of the cell centers. They won't do anything else other than Sunday. Because they are content. I'm a Christian. I'm born again. I'm going to heaven when I die. And that's all they care about. But tonight, I just want to remind us, and I know you know already, but just to remind ourselves that there's a reason why God saved us. God, if the goal was just to get us to heaven, then we should just, the moment we get saved, we should just go to heaven. But the truth is that he leaves us here for a long time. And there's a reason, you see. It's almost, I can't compare the two, but it's almost like landing yourself the dream job. You get the dream job. I'm sure everybody has a dream job. To be a chief executive somewhere and, you know, be the one that calls the shots. You have your dream job and say, oh, I've arrived. So you just dress well and just go and sit in the office. It won't work. Are you understanding? Your dream job, the day you get your dream job, actually marks the beginning of a lot of hard work. Yeah. Do you know that in a secular, the higher you go, the harder you work? Yeah. I'm telling you. That is why CEOs take more time off. It's not because they need more time off than you. Because they do more thinking. Yeah. Even in my little world, you know, I feel I'm working harder than when I used to see 30, 40 patients a day. Yeah, it's a lot of what I'm doing now is more thinking. It drains you. Yeah. It drains you. Very, very draining. You know, today we one of the new doctors that we had interviewed and hired just came complaining. I mean, he just started just Monday. And he handed me his badge. Yeah, he just said, I can't do this anymore. And it's amazing because his excuse is that he thought that the hours were different. I mean, how could you have interviewed and you didn't know the hours? And that's one of the things that we talk about during an interview. It's very stressful, you know, because you're trying to build and people are just dropping off. So it is a stressful thing. So coming back to what we're talking about anyway. So when you get your dream job, what it actually means is that it's work, the beginning of more work. Yeah, the reward is almost like the reward for work is more work. For hard work is more work. You work hard and then can't you see that? That is why even in church, you realize that the people who are more responsible end up even doing more. Because you are so reliable, we give you more. Yeah. I'm giving more, then I pass more to you. Yeah, the reward for hard work is more work. Yes. That is why the Bible also says that we should work out our salvation with fear and trembling. The day you receive Christ, it's just the beginning of hard work to make it to heaven. So tonight, I just want to remind you that there is a purpose for which you were saved. God did not just save you so that you go to heaven in the future. God saved you, and you are still here, and you will remain for a long time in Jesus' name. Amen. And there's a reason for God saving you. Amen. Now, when you read the Bible, we'll look at a few scriptures quickly. It's amazing how you will see when God talks about, at least I know one or two scriptures we'll look at, that when God talks about salvation, he always let me put it this way. When God talks about salvation, are you here or are you going home? He always talks also about work. All right? The first one we can look at is Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. You know the scripture, but let's look at it again. Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll look at verse 8. Right? It says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. For by grace are ye saved through faith. So he's telling us how we got saved. And it is by grace. We didn't work for it. I don't think that we can, even in 10,000 years, pay for all our crimes and our sins and things that we continue to do, isn't it? So it is by grace. We are saved by grace through faith. And it says, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It's a gift. God gives that to us. Then it goes on, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it's not by your works, but works also come. Then look at the next verse. We read all that to get to verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship. So in saving us by grace, through faith, and he's saying that it's not because of what we have done, not because of works that we have done, but it is by grace. Then he says, for we are his workmanship. God created us. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So as he is saving us by grace through faith, there are works that he has in store for us. If you read the last part, it says, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. So God has work for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has work for you. Yeah. As he was saving you, saying that, this is my son that I'm saving. I'm marking him for this kind of work. It's almost like a job description. Heart-specific work for us. And he's saying that these works that he even has for us, they were ordained before. So God, knowing everything, even before you were born again, God ordained that you should do certain things. That is why it would be very unfortunate to live this life and get to heaven one day, and then you realize that what he wanted you to do, you didn't do. Do you know that it's very painful to be somewhere, and then when you get to that place, you realize, all the things that you intended to do or you were supposed to do before you got to that place. Yeah. Recently, when I was going to Ghana, I really rushed out. We underestimated the time. In fact, me and my son were the last who board. Yes. As we drove all the way to D.C. And at the point, they were calling us. Yes. Overhead. Gilbert and Gilbert. We were so late. And at that time, you know how when you use a different phone when you travel, you want to transfer your WhatsApp. I had a phone that I usually travel with, and I'd forgotten the lock screen code, so I couldn't open the phone, and so I couldn't transfer my WhatsApp. And WhatsApp is so important to me, because that's where I get all my messages from. Even where I was going, Ghana, that's how they were going to contact me. So I had to buy a phone right at the gate. Yeah. And as they were calling me, the guy was trying to set it up. New Android phone. Trying to set it up. So they were calling. I said, this phone, I have to get it done before I leave. So I delayed for a long time. And then he finally got it done. Then I transferred my WhatsApp number to it. Yeah. How did I get into this plane? Yeah, so I rushed. So when we got to Ghana, I realized that there were so many things that I had in mind. In fact, some of them were even written out that I had to do, but I couldn't do it. Remember, I left this one. Oh, I didn't do this one. Oh, I didn't do that one. I was supposed to do this. I was supposed to put this thing on this side of the. I did left so many things. You see. So if we are not careful, that is how it's going to be in heaven. You see, and some of us will try to rob Jesus. But he will keep bringing us to the point that, you know, some of us will say, oh, Jesus, I'm so happy to see you. I love you so much. You know, I'm very, very happy. And then, but as you are saying, but, you know, let's talk about this thing. Because you try to derail him. Amen. But that shall not be your story. Your story shall be that you would have done all that was expected of you. Somebody say amen. So God had ordained. In fact, let's say this scripture together. It's a very important scripture. I believe that it's one of them must know. Let's say it together. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Amen. So maybe one good prayer to pray for your life is to ask God that what is it that I need to walk in? What have you ordained for me? What is it that I need to walk in? Amen. Very important. The second scripture I want us to look at, again, relating to salvation and the fact that God has worked for us, is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And you are right, we're looking at verse 17. Let's start from verse 17. Again, you can see here how God relates salvation, saving you for a reason. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And it's true. Anyone born again, there has to be something new about you. You cannot say that you are born again and still live anyhow. It's not possible. But the Bible also says that the one that is born again, the seed of God remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. It's not that you will, you can't. Anybody that sins easily, you are not born again. There's a problem. You need another dip in the blood. Then he says, and all things are of God, who, I am 18, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Huh? So right after he's telling you that, look, you are born again. All things are new. All things are passed away. Right after that, he's saying that all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Yeah? So as he was saving you, he was giving you some work to do. So if you understand this, you will be a Christian who would not just be idle in church. Yeah. You will not be idle. You would try to fit into some work. Yeah. You know, the work of God, one of the things I've realized is that sometimes you don't even know, or you may not even know exactly what to do until you start working. Many years ago, I heard Kenneth Hagin say that the pastoral ministry, the pastoral ministry is a doorway into ministry. Because he started as a pastor. You may be an evangelist, but you have to work. Until you work, you won't even know that this is where God is leading me, or this is my calling. Are you understanding? So God has a ministry for every one of us. Whatever it may be, the end result is that it should reconcile men unto him. Are you understanding? You know, this kind of topics are not very popular, but I'm going to preach the same topic on Sunday. You watch me. Yeah. I'll preach the same. I won't change it. I may add more verses, but I'm going to preach this. Because it's time to wake up. Yeah, it's time to, we need to wake up from our sleep and start working for the Lord. Yes. Then verse 9, he says, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing the trespasses unto them, not imputing the trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. God has, it's a very serious word, though, committed. When we say commit, we are actually saying something very deep. That God has actually left. Do you see? It's like I'm cooking and I commit the soup into your hand. You know, I expect that when I come back, I'll have soup and not stew. You know how soups can easily become stew. Yeah. So God has come. So what it actually means is that there are some people who God has ordained that you are the one to bring the word of reconciliation. Yes. Without you, that word of reconciliation will not take place. He's actually left it in your hands. He's committed. Lift up your hand and say, God has committed the word of reconciliation unto me. Then verse 20. Wow. It emphasizes it a little more here. It says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. Wow. As though God did besiege you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. We are ambassadors. An ambassador carries a specific message from the homeland. We are ambassadors here carrying a message of reconciliation to the world, to your world. Are you understanding? So here again, you see how closely God links salvation to work. That you are born again, you are saved, everything is new, work. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. These are all scriptures that we all know. As I'm sharing, I know you know all of it. But be reminded. All right. So Ephesians chapter 4. And let's pick it up from verse 9. So this is talking about Christ, isn't it? Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. That he might fill all things. This is talking about Christ. As he ascended up far above all heavens, his goal is to fill all things. To fill the earth. To fill the world. That is his goal. Now, how did he intend to do that? The next verse tells us. So, to fill the earth, to fill the world, to fill all things. All things means all things. Everybody say, all things means all things. So, to fill all things, look at what he did. He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. You know, we like bluffing with this scripture, fivefold ministry. Fivefold ministry. It's like BK, Bible knowledge. Do you know the fivefold ministry? Then you just count them in that order, isn't it? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. By the way, I believe that that's the order of importance. God is a God of order. So he gave apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors. Don't forget verse 10, isn't it? Yeah. The purpose is to fill all things. Are you here? Now, look at verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This is a verse we've talked about many times in this church. So he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers for the perfecting of the saints. So when you read this in a certain way, you may feel that what he's saying is that the apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers should be the one doing the work. But what it actually means is that he gave the apostles, he gave the prophets, he gave the evangelists, he gave the teachers, he gave the pastors for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. In other words, to build up the saints, to build up the Christians, to build up those who are born again, so that they will do the work of ministry, of which the summary is reconciliation. You see, if you understand this, even when you are singing, you see that you will sing with the mind of reconciling, getting Christ into someone. If you are playing drums, you are playing drums with the intent of getting someone into Christ. That is why you will not just play drums and never talk to anyone that, look, you need to be born again. Because you need to tell people that they need to be born again. Are you understanding? So for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Let's read this. Let's read verse 11 and 12 together from the Amplified. From the Amplified version. Look at it. So, it says, and his gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to us. So, who are these men that he gave to us? Some to be apostles. Apostles are special messengers. Some prophets, inspired preachers and expounders. Some evangelists, preachers of the gospel, traveling missionaries. Some pastors, shepherds of his flock, and teachers. Then look at verse 12. His intention, are you following? His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, the church. Are you understanding? So, ladies and gentlemen, if you come to church and your whole aim is just to be in church and enjoy church, it's okay. But there's more to it. There's more to it. The average Christian in church just wants to be in church to enjoy. Almost like entertainment. That is why it's only certain messages that appeal to us. Messages with jokes. If you come to church and you don't laugh, then it means that nothing has been shared. Because you don't understand. You are here not just so to be here and be happy. You are here because you are supposed to be working. Amen. Yeah, you are supposed to be working. Amen. And coming to church Sunday after Sunday, the goal is that God is trying to build you up. Amen. And help you. You see, so there's a problem if you've been in church for years. You've had so many men. You see, sometimes even when you're a pastor, you get worried. Because it's like people have heard all your messages. Yeah. if you realize, a lot of times, it's the same message. We are just revolving it. We preach it in from different angles. But it's the same word. It's the same word. You get tired because you are not actually functioning as you should. But when you really do what you're supposed to, you see that everything becomes exciting. And it's never boring. I can't imagine being in church and getting bored. I have something to do every day. All the time. Every day. Every day I come, I have something to do. In fact, I can sit in the office and I can talk to people from morning till evening. And I will leave and the work would not even have been finished. There's always something to do. So the reason why God brought you to church is so you'll be built up for the work of ministering, whichever format it may be, the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, the church, which involves building up other Christians and also bringing new ones in and establishing them. That's the church. The church consists of the older ones that we are also building up and then also bringing new ones. See, and this is why we are trying to do sound centers. I mean, centers. You know, and people are not even interested. You know, people who have been in this church for several years, we've talked about this thing for a long time. They have not darkened the doorway of any cell center once. And Sunday, I'll preach the same thing again. Yeah. Because they don't know the reason. They have no idea. Either they don't know or they know, but they are refusing to acknowledge it. That you are in church so that you would do work. I'm not talking about somebody who just got born again yesterday. That's quite different. But I'm talking about, especially about people who have been in church for years. You don't do anything. Nothing. You even pay tithes. Yeah. All you want is just come to church, come and hear a good sermon, and go home. You won't lift a finger to do anything. You won't pray. You won't visit. You won't be part of any evangelism. You won't help in any way. Nothing. It's not good. This is what Bishop Paddy calls polishing upon more polishing. Yes, every time you just bring your forehead so we rub olive oil on it so that it looks more shiny. That's all. Yes. You see, so I really, my desire for the church, I want us all to get to a place where we should start reflecting over our lives and actually think, like, what is my use? Or what am I of any use? What have I achieved? What has God used me for? God wants to use us for something. Yes. And it is our responsibility to flow in the things that God wants to use us for. Amen. So that is why he gave all this for the perfecting of the saints. His intention, I like the Amplifier. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people. That they, not that the apostle would do, but they would do, that they should do the work of ministering toward building the church, the body of Christ. Amen. One last scripture and then we are done. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. You know, this verse, most people like only the last part. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Isn't it? Yeah, everybody likes blessing. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Yeah? But you should read the first part too. Yeah? Some people, you'll be surprised. Some people feel like even the coming to church is their labor. Yeah. Yeah. They're just making the effort to come to church. Maybe drain a little bit, a few drops of water touch you. You know, so it's labor. It's hard labor to come to church. Huh? But look at the first part. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the... You see, this is also a very... Always abounding. Always, not sometimes. It means that you work even when it's not convenient. Yeah. How many of you have come to church working and you feel, as you were even coming, you feel it's not convenient? That they didn't feel like it. Yeah, I can raise my two hands and even all my legs. But you got to do it. Because this is what God says. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Listen, I really believe with all my heart that I am what I am and my life is what it is just because of the work I do for the Lord. Without a doubt. You can't take that thought away from me. I believe that my very sustenance is because of lies in doing the work. Yeah, without the work, I'm nothing. Without the work, I'm finished. Yes. Without the work, I'm done. So the work is what brings rewards, brings blessings. I believe that my family is blessed. Our family is blessed. Also because both me and Lady Pastor are doing the work. I see clearly in the favors that come over the family. My children, everything. It's a blessing of the Lord because of the labor in the Lord. I pray that you would also be blessed as you labor for the Lord. Don't be worried. Bible says you should not be worried well doing. Why? Because we will reap. Induces we will reap if we faint not. Some people faint before the point of reaping comes. It's sad, isn't it? You've worked hard and pushed forward until you're almost crossing the line, then you sit down. It's like somebody who is running 100 meters, and you are really almost at the line. You are even the first person. But as just before you get there, say, oh, I'm tired, then you sit down. You will not get a prize. But I believe that I'm talking to people who would obtain a prize. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet as we pray just for a few minutes. Thank you, Lord. Just close your eyes and pray for yourself that you would abound in the work of the Lord. You would abound in the work of the Lord. Pray for yourself right now, everyone. Pray that you would abound in the work of the Lord. Ask God to help you to even walk in the work that God has ordained for you. Bible says that we are his workmanship. We were created. We were created to walk in specific works way ahead of time. Pray that your feet will find those works and you will walk in them. Pray for yourself. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let us pray for mercy. Let's ask God for mercy and say, God, if perchance we have deviated, if perchance we've moved away from the track, if perchance we've derailed and we are moving in a direction that we're not supposed to, have mercy on us. And by your grace and your mercy, let's come back to the right pathway. In Jesus' name. Come on, lift up that voice. Lift up that voice. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Bible says that the callings of God, they are without repentance. What God has called us to do, what God has said for us to do, the works that God has laid way ahead of time that we should walk in them, he says they are without repentance. God will help you to achieve it if you want to. Let's pray and ask for that mercy. Lord, in your mercy, may we not miss it. May I not miss it. In your mercy, may I not miss it, oh God. May I walk in your calling. May I walk in your calling. May I walk in the calling. In the calling that you have set before me. Yes, Lord, not deviating to the left, not to the right, but moving forward, pushing forward, moving forward, pushing forward, moving forward, pushing forward. In Jesus' name. Le kotopali and mara mahade. Listombre ke la manancha de le brokapa. Lizebre la monta nikadia la jelengra kanamagonda. Ile zebre taboro modia dele vraba bongo dele ile shtimprota palama rokotapia zingra chalimianga lostompro paliande de zebre kimanodia. Yes, Lord, that we would move forward. We would move forward. We would move forward. Come on, pray and ask for mercy that you will not miss the boat. You will not miss the mark. You will not miss the mark of the high calling. You will push forward and move in the calling that God has set before you. Father, thank you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, tonight I pray for us. I pray for everyone that is here tonight. And even those who are not here, Lord. I pray that in your mercy, by your grace and your mercy, there will be people who would abound in the work of the Lord. Being steadfast and movable, always abounding. Bearing fruit even when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. Moving in the things that, Lord, you have set and preordained for us to walk in. We will not miss the mark by your grace and by your mercy. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.